Luke, again, Alan, thank you so much for helping out, filling in for Brian, who we missed terribly. But Luke, in a pinch, like 40 minutes beforehand, I'm on my way, came in and helped out. We thank him for that. Until next time, and as always, get out of my face.
I know what you're saying. Luke, isn't that Hollywood actor Kevin Pollak giving you a shout out? Well, yes. Yes, it was. More about that in a minute. Well, this is a really screwy night. I leave work 7 o'clock. You know, I was going to work out first at the Gym over by my work, and I get on Lincoln Blivid, which is a nightmare of a goddamn street. It's terrible all day, all night, and particularly bad at night from 5 o'clock on. And why is my car so fucked? And it's just not moving. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to deal with that fucking gym because it's getting more and more fucking crowded every time I go, and it's too small, and I can't get anything. I can't get on any of the goddamn year. So, plus I didn't want to burn out all my energy. I don't know. I just didn't feel like it. Goddamn, this fucking car is so hard to keep these fucking windows not fogged. What the flying fuck? Jesus fucking Christ. This is my defroster's on. Sounds like a fucking jet engine about to take off. Why is this car getting so fogged up? Fucking pain in my cunt. So then I get hungry. Then I realize I'm hungry again. So I went over to fucking El Pollo Loco because they have these, was it the chicken avocado tortilla wrap? It's under 500 calories. The fucking tortilla is made out of fucking peat. It's like wheat. It's pretty good for you. It comes with a little salad and I get a little side of coleslaw. It's really good before you work out. It's almost perfect. And I get to the fucking drive-thru window. And this woman, the fucking lady's voice, I'm like, can you put someone that speaks English on the goddamn drive-thru fucking speaker? I couldn't understand. She's like, I'm like, yeah, can I get the fucking chicken avocado? I was like, what? I couldn't say the fucking thing. She could barely speak English. I was so fucking aggravated. So, because I get the chicken avocado tortilla wrap so often, I actually ventured out. I tried something else. I got the shrimp wrap. And I took one bite into this and realized this was not a good thing to eat right before I'm going to work out and do back, you know, back, legs. It's a pretty strong workout. I've been hitting it pretty hard. So I diverted myself to Studio City to get into the Studio City LA Fitness, which smells like a giant testicle. I was in there yesterday. It smells like a pair of balls upstairs and downstairs. The men's locker room stinks as if you were in King Kong's testicles in his underwear, just, you know, living there, paying rent, staying out of the rain. But you got to smell that oniony, disgusting, fleshy smell. And the bathroom stinks, and the whole downstairs where I work out stinks. It fucking stinks in there. But I light, and there's usually no one in there because it stinks. You know who's in there? Fucking Tom Cruise's stunt double. The guy, I know him. Because I worked on a Tom Cruise movie. No, it was the guy. And I'm like, that's fucking Tom's stunt double. Like, A, is he not a stunt double anymore? And, or B, why would he be in a testicle-smelling LA Fitness? Isn't he an Equinox guy? Doesn't Tom have a gym for this dude to work out in? Oh, maybe he fired him. Maybe he said he liked Leah Remini and was against Scientology. And Tom Cruise was like, I cast thee out! Kicked him out of his fucking circle. But, shrimp and all kinds of sauces and shit in it. And I'm like, this ain't going to bode well. I mean, to work out, this isn't good workout fuel, the shrimp one. So I don't know if I'm going to get that one again. I have been on such a junk food tear. I can't remember the last time I just eat like shit. I mean, I wonder if that's why I'm just fucking feel like tired all day. Like, I'm up for like 4 hours and I'm like, I need a nap. I'm tired already. I'm like, what the fuck happened? It's got to be my diet. I consume way too much fucking sugar. they're just obscene amounts, and I just eat a lot of junk, like, all the time. And it used to be, like, I'd eat junk food, but it was just, oh my, look at this fucking moron. Are you idiot? Four fucking cars went through that yellow light. How are you the four, how do you not feel like a complete, LA is just a city of just people that have no fucking shame. They just don't care about being an asshole. They fucking, they just, they're so entitled, they'll just do whatever they want. How do you, whatever, sorry. Hold it together. Yeah, take your time in a crosswalk. Take just enough time to walk so that no one can make a left now. Awesome. Thank you, fucking citizen, fucking pedestrian. Cool. The guy just shuffled across. I'm at fucking Washington and Sepulveda. And the guy is just fucking shuffling across the goddamn intersection like he's got snowshoes on. Cunt. Like he's on roller skates and the wheels fucking fell off. Whew. Look, people want to listen to you complain about traffic the whole fucking way. I mean, don't you got other stuff to talk about? Yes, you're right. What was the time on shrimp? I don't fucking know. Don't eat rotten. Yeah, I've been eating a lot of junk food lately. It's just, I don't know what the fuck my problem is. My problem is I have no self-control. I used to fucking, that's where I was going. I used to get hungover. I'd have a bad couple hangovers. And not only would I feel like shit from that, I would also eat junk food to help ameliorate my hangover, and then I would hit like a rock bottom, and then I would clean up, I'd start running, but like I don't have that anymore because I'm not hungover. I just eat junk just all the time, and it doesn't feel like I'm doing that bad because I don't have the hangover to go with it. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm healthy, I can eat junk food. I don't know, it's very weird. It's like I've never, it's kind of uncharted territory, but I gotta put the shit, I need to get on a fucking diet. All that fucking pontificating, the bottom line is I need a goddamn diet that suits me. I don't know what to eat. I don't know, like, quickie solutions that aren't that bad for me. I mean, I do, sort of, but I only have so many around, and I need to expand my fucking horizons of, like at least a little bit healthier stuff that I could eat, like, on the reg and in a hurry, because I'm a fucking man on the go. Yeah, I'm all over this time. Over here, I'm over there. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm eating this girl's fucking box. I'm eating this chick's fucking A's. You know what I mean? Fucking. Ow. You know what I missed? I was thinking about this the other day. I used to go back in Buffalo. I moved furniture for a little company for years. For fucking years, right? Fucking. Like when I was in college. And most of the time, unless I had some kind of break from school or something, I would just work Saturdays for like a long time. Long time, I just worked Saturdays. Just cash, it was great. Make $120 or some shit, you know. Honest fucking days, work, go home, put my feet up, kick back and say, you know, I burned some calories. I helped some people move from point A to point B. You know, people settle in their house. I feel good. It feels like you fucking got something accomplished. I don't know what voice that was. That was 12-year-old Jack Nicholson, everybody. So on Saturday, I would go and usually they would pay me from the previous week. They'd just give it to me that morning. So on especially this worked really well in these, like, the dog months of winter from, like, you know, your February, March, January. And these days, it's boring. Sometimes you wouldn't see the sun back there for months. You know, just be overcast, snowing, slushing. That pile, all that shitty ice that piles up on the side of the road, it has exhaust and dirt and it turns all black. It looks like a snow cone you dropped in plant fertilizer. That's what it would just look like, that everywhere. And I'd get paid, and maybe we'd have an early day, we'd be done at fucking 2. And to drive home, I have no idea why I'm telling you this story. There's no connection to it for anyone else but me, so I'm just going to self-indulgently dive into it, just like the fucking citizens I previously just complained about for doing the same thing. We're all hypocrites. I'd get paid cash, you know, $80 or something. And the amount of times I would be driving home at 2, 3, 4 o'clock, and I would pass Sit and Spin Records on Transit Road in Depew, where, what was the guy's name? The fat guy with the scrunchy face. Oh, God damn it. What was his name? Martin. His name was Martin. I'd pass him, and then he worked with another dude. They were like fucking characters straight out of a Kevin Smith movie, and they worked at a record store. This is when I was in my 20s. They were a couple years older than me, but they had couches in there, and it was just this cozy ass. I mean, it'd be fucking, you know, it'd be shitty out, it'd be overcast or snowing. And I'd stop in to buy a couple to blow the fucking moving money. Now, this is all my saving up to go to California money, which I, obviously jumping ahead, it worked. But there were still many times I would stop by to grab a fucking couple of albums because I still wasn't downloading free music yet. This is like early 2000s. And it was more fun to like look through, you know, you look through actual fucking physical media. You dig through CDs and try to find bands you never heard of, and then you get recommendation. It was some real Marc Maron shit. You know, you get recommendations from the guys. And the next thing, you know, I'd buy a couple and fucking then, next thing I know, I'd be sitting in there holding court. And we would be bullshitting, especially depending on who came in. Because if, like, people would just come wandering in from all, punk rock kids from all over the city, and we'd all kind of know each other. It was just like fucking comedy, what I'm doing now, except it was like punk rock community instead of stand-up community. And it was a little bit more down-to-earth because it was Buffalo, and it was, you know, just a bunch of fucking punk rock kids. No one was trying to be anybody. You didn't have the fucking egos like you do in comedy. Anyways, we'd sit there and bullshit. And I, like... It'd be Saturday night, and like we're supposed to get the fucking crew together, probably usually to meet at Rusty's house, and then watch fucking a movie for 2.5 hours, then finally go out at 11 o'clock, not get laid, and then go home, but whatever. Like, I was supposed to be like getting ready and shit, or like have plans, and I would sit there until 8, 9 o'clock. I'd sit there for like 5 fucking hours, and we would just talk about Star Wars and shit, or like bands. And then just I would just fucking piss the whole day, just sitting in there, just fucking shooting shit with Martin and all these, and whoever else I wanted in. I was like, I forgot about that. Those were such fucking awesome Saturdays. I missed that fucking place, dude. It used to be right at, oh my God, I couldn't even tell you the crossroad anymore. It's just past fucking Walden there on transit. It's long gone, but there's two dudes on bikes next to me. Hang on, let's see what they're saying. Hang on. Yeah, is that true? You fucking hippie bitch. Fucking bicycle. Shut up, bicycle. Okay. Where am I? I'm at Motor Avenue and fucking Venice Blivet. So anyways, yeah, complete non-story, but I missed that place. I was thinking about that the other day. Oh yeah, you know, because that's what this fourth wall place, where they have that mic right by my house. It reminds me of it. It has a real sit and spin vibe. Instead of fucking punk rock records, it's people going up and doing their shitty 6 minutes, myself included. But I'm scheduled to talk to Joe... Fourth Wall Joe, who owns that place, because he's got a long and storied career. He used to be a fucking rocker and shit, and I don't know. I just wanted to see. He's an interesting guy. I know enough about him, but I don't know in depth, so I want to maybe talk to him. I hate interviewing people, but I don't know. He seems like he'd be an easy dude to talk to, so that's going to happen, allegedly. Maybe tomorrow night. It'll be like a bonus episode, sort of like a bonus. So Kevin Pollak, Saturday night, I think I mentioned it last episode, I was going to go see him, and he's doing the Melrose Improv over there. Now, Kevin Pollak, I'll go back. I mean, he's one of my comic heroes. If you listen to me on any kind of talk platform in the last fucking 4 years, I'm speaking to about the same five people, but I've always been a fan. I loved him when he came on Opie and Anthony and shit, and you know, it's a funny dude. I remember when I was a fucking little, first time I ever saw him, I was like 10. And he had some comment. I remember watching it Christmas Eve at my granny's house in Buffalo in the basement on her fucking big TV. It was Kevin Pollak, his special, where that's where he used to do a lot more William Shatner. I remember, like, I mean, it was so fucking long ago, and I still remember all kinds of, like, specific bits and lines and everything for it. And, like, I'll even quote it sometimes and not even realize I'm doing it. And, you know, people will just be like, oh, it's just fucking Luke being a weirdo. I don't even know what he's talking about. But, that's how long I fucking liked that. That's why when he started acting in serious movies and shit, like, he was in Usual Suspects. I'm like, really? This guy's a fucking comic. I never really bought him as, like, a straight actor, honestly. I was still in some... Same with Tom Hanks. I just never really bought him as a dramatic actor. I guess all these years later, I'm so used to them doing serious movies, but it took me a really fucking long time to, like, you know, to separate myself from that. Because as a wise man once said, you gotta keep them separated. But... So I've never really seen him do a full stand-up set. So I'm like, all right, see how this goes. Now, I couldn't get anyone to go because I've gone to, like, this is like the third fucking show I've gone to in 9 days. 9 times. So I got the fucking slob to come with me. I didn't want her to come, but I'm like, I need someone to go. I almost went by myself. Seriously, like, literally the last minute, like 3 hours before the show, I'm like, all right, do you want to go? Do you want to go this thing tonight? So she comes. So opening for him were... I forgot the first two. The second guy... Okay, let me step back a second. She and I were possibly the youngest people in the entire crowd. It was all old people. And opening for him was Carol Liefert. So her name sounds familiar. I guess she wrote on Seinfeld for the whole fucking run, I think. And she's some old New York yid and Yenta. And, I mean, she's like fucking 65 years old. And the guy that opened, she was like the feature, and then Kevin's the headliner. So there's another guy before them who had this like weird mushroom haircut. This guy's probably fucking 50. And he's just standing there, and like, he's just, his whole set was just like jokes. Like, hey, I was walking my dog down the street, and dog saw a cat, and the cat grew wings, and my dog built a rocket sled and flew on after it. Like, just kind of shit. Like, just making, you know, jokes. And like, they weren't bad or anything, but I'm just sitting there, I'm like, how? I don't know how people could do that. I couldn't do it. I have to do fucking jokes based on real stuff that happened to me. I mean, like, I'll make up shit like that sometimes, but I really don't like, I don't know if I'll ever get to a point in my, I almost used the word career. I don't know if I could ever get to that point where I'm just making, like, I have to have them grounded in something, or they almost don't mean anything to me. Like, it's just so fucking cheap to just make people laugh with, like, you know, knock-knock jokes. Like, just, like, knock-knock jokes. I don't fucking, I don't know how people do that, man. And I'm, obviously, this guy's been doing it a long time. Like, this has been his whole career? This is, like, Catskill comic shtick thing he's doing? I don't know. I guess sold, well, I don't know his name, so I can say it, but I got some intel that Kev was not a fan of him and never asked for him to be on the show and was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Who is this guy? Didn't care for him. So then Carol Liefert gets on. She does like, what'd she do, a half hour? And it was just like, even including old KP himself, you could really see these were comics that came up in the 80s comedy boom, because it was a very different style of comedy, very antiquated style. I'm just like, this is like, we're fucking time traveling here. This is some weird shit. So she just goes on and on, and it was just, yeah, it wasn't hip. It wasn't like fucking today comedy. She's like, ooh. So whatever, she does her fucking thing, and old Kev gets up. Hang on, am I missing? Let me see. Fucking, I know it's dark out now, so I gotta keep turning the fucking stupid light on. So Kevin gets on, and I could tell right away he was fucking nervous as hell. Like, he was pacing around weird, and he wouldn't let go of that piano up there, or take his hand. He needed to like ground himself. It was like he was holding on to the piano, but his body was trying to walk away from himself. It was just weird. I'm like, this guy's fucking, and I could just tell by the way he was acting, and now I'll come back to this in a minute, but I could just tell by the way he was. I'm like, he hasn't done this in a while. He's fucking nervous as balls up there. So I've been waiting to see him for a long time, like I said. I was a fan of going back a little kid, and him too, you could tell he came up in an era that is bygone and still springs a lot of his humor from it, but he mostly played the hits. If you're a fan of him and if you've heard him on talk shows and all kinds of stuff like that, it's, you heard all these stories. I never get sick. He's like kind of like Jay Moore. Like Jay Moore, I've heard him tell those Clint Eastwood stories at least 5 times across, you know, 5 different shows, and I still never, because I love impressions anyways, so I never get tired of them. But it's like, it was like a greatest hits album of Pollock. Like, it was nothing really, not a lot of, like, material. And then, so he started doing this weird thing. I don't know what this was about. It was something about how it was almost Valentine's Day, and what he would say to Ryan Gosling if Kevin was a woman trying to get Ryan's attention. And he wrote it on this, like, piece of paper, and he's, like, reading it. It was really weird. I don't know what he was doing, but he lost. I mean, he picked up on it pretty quick. He's like, none of this is working, is it? He's like, 4 minutes in his bit, and he was like bombing. It wasn't working. I was like, what the fuck is he doing here? I didn't even know what he was trying to get at. I don't know. But he threw that away and recovered pretty quick. But whatever, he did like 40 minutes, and it was just like, okay, you know, it wasn't really, I don't know, maybe I was expecting too much. I don't know. But it was all right. So now we've just done the wiretap thing with him, that sketch that I haven't shut the fuck up about for several episodes. He recorded a voice of this character. So we weren't sitting, Slav and I weren't sitting that far from him. and his crew. And I know his man Jay Mack a little bit. I knew him from the internet. I met him once and we just kind of stayed in touch. And I don't know what my problem was, but I just could not bring myself to get to stand up and walk over and say hello. And she just laughs like, "What? Fucking go say hi. What is your problem?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't want to bother him." It's just, and it was like an awkward, they were in this like corner booth in the back. So it would have been like a big, it wasn't like a table you could just kind of walk by. You had to like walk back there and like, I don't know. It's just something, for some reason, I was just having trouble with it. I'm a fucking weirdo and social fucking weirdo anyways. Hang on. The fuck is texting me? That's fucking boss. Hang on. What's happening here? Hang on. Bear with me 1 second here. Hang on. Okay. You know, so I'm like, okay, maybe I'll say hi to him after. So they had to turn the room over for the 9 o'clock or the 10 o'clock show. And they're like, okay, they're like pushing. And there was like a line of well-wishers waiting to talk to him. And I'm like, all right, maybe I'll catch him out. Catch me outside. How about that? I thought I was going to catch him outside. How about that? But then J-Mac was gone. I was going to use him as the liaison to say hi to Pollock. Look, why are you getting so in your head about this? He's just a guy. Just walk up and say hello. You know he knows you. Just say hi. Who gives a shit? You're not walking up asking him for fucking money. I know. I don't know. Voice of reason guy. I don't know what my problem was. But so the whole thing went fucking kaplooey, and I just like kind of got muscled out. It was so packed in there, and it's so tight getting in and out. I mean, they redesigned that Melrose Improv, and the front is just a fucking mess. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. It's got to be breaking fire codes. I don't know what the fuck. But we ended up just kind of getting pushed out, and I didn't get to say hi to him. And I was just like, I was so fucking annoyed. I'm like, what's my problem? I make such a fucking process out of everything. Like, sometimes I'm fine, and then other times I'm just, and sometimes I'm riding slow, sometimes I'm riding quick. Just that fucking, I don't know. So, like, Slob and I go out to eat after that. And, like, I mean, we were having, like, a good enough time, whatever, at the thing. And then we go to eat, and it's just like, if it's fucking, what, 6-7 fucking years I've been boning this chick, but she's still not, like, my girl, I won't make her my girlfriend. And, like, she just gets fucking, and I don't know if she does it to get attention, but she just acts like she's annoyed at everything I do. And she's always got to have some, like, bitchy comeback, and she has bitch face. And she's just not a fucking pleasant person. She's just, that's why I don't fucking hang out, is why I don't go. Because even like the last week, she's like, we never go anywhere. We haven't gone anywhere in like months. All we do is fucking name sex and date. I'm like, God, I don't want to take you anywhere. Because you're, number one, you're fucking fatty. And number two, you're a fucking pain in my cunt. Every time we go out, you're just fucking always seem like you're miserable. She is always fucking miserable. But it's like sitting there and it's just like just trying to make conversation with this woman. It's just like fucking pulling teeth. And like, I would just sit there and see how long we could go without talking. And like 5 and 6 minutes would go by. And she'd just be sitting there, just either on her phone or just staring at the table. I'm like, you're so fucking boring. You're so, this is why I can never, she can't get it through her fucking head. That I can't, like, this is just, who wants to do that? Why would I want to date a chick that I'm not constantly stimulated by? Like, that's how my ex was. Like, we never shut the fuck up. Like, she was really smart and nerdy, and we were all the same shit. We never fucking stopped talking, and it was great. Like, it's so fucking hard to find that again. And she, this fucking broad's about as far from it as you can imagine, even after all this fucking time. It's nothing to say. I know this is like, probably a lot of chicks are like this. That, you know, just maybe some people are just quieter. I don't know. But if it's, for me personally, it bugs me when there's no conversation to be had. So I don't know what was happening, but like, she just kept giving me kind of shitty comebacks, and I think I was fucking, like, I like teasing her, and all this time, because she's so fucking dumb, she can't tell when I'm kidding, even though I so obviously am 90% of the time, and she takes it personal. Like, I'm like, what, like, I would actually say that to you, like, it was a fucking joke, and then having to explain that to her gets me more mad that she doesn't have the fucking perception to know that I'm just fucking around. Like, are you that fucking dumb? So I don't know what happened. Just something, the whole night went sideways. And I was going to take her home. I drove her to her fucking car. I'm like, just fucking get out. I don't want to fucking deal with you tonight. I don't know how or why. I wasn't even, I wanted to fuck, but I was just like, I was so beyond it at that point. And that's like 11 o'clock, 11:30. And I'm fucking tired. And she's like, no, I don't know how. She talks to me to let me her come in. And which is always a fucking mistake. Because I know exactly how the rest of the fucking night's going to go. And like, she comes over and it just gets worse and worse, and we lay in bed, and now she's like, but it was just like the entire, like the fucking 800-pound gorilla in the room surfaced, that's always hiding there waiting for us, every time because we're not in a real relationship and she really wants to be, and I refuse to address this. The fact that she's just basically like my fuck buddy. And it will never be more than that. I'm sorry. Just not. I just don't like her like that. And, Luke, you sound like such a bad guy. It's like you're using her. Well, you know what? Then don't fucking come around anymore. If you don't... Oh, Rick, you don't like when I fuck you. You want me to take you out on dates. You want me to hang out and wine and dine you all over this city, don't you, Rick? Well, I'm not doing that. That's my Negan. I wish I can do Rick from Walking Dead pretty good too, but it doesn't work unless you can see my face, because you gotta have the panic Rick face. Look, and everyone's about to die. He's like, he's out there right now. He is gonna kill us if we don't kill him first. That's my Rick. But it doesn't work if you can't see me. We gotta make the face. The person next to me in traffic is looking like I'm a fucking complete... Well, I am a complete maniac. So it's just boiling down in the slob. And now I'm like, just get out. Go home. I don't want to fuck. I just want to go to sleep. I'm tired. Leave. Leave. I'm practically dragging her out of my apartment. And I'm telling you, this fucking asshole. I've only seen my first ex that I ever moved out here with would do something like this. She was practically on the ground grabbing my leg like Wicket the Ewok grabs fucking Princess Leia's leg in Return of the Jedi. I thought she was going to hang onto my leg practically. And she's just like crying, blubbering. I was like, I fucking, and like everything she said, she just goes back and goes, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Like this chick has some fucking serious, like deep fucking rooted daddy issues, like major. I'm like, you are fucking crazy. I'm like, how do you have any respect for a person after they do something like that? Just like fucking, just like not a shred of dignity. I'm just like, you're fucking pathetic. Like, I can't, this is fucking ridiculous. So like, I'm like, I'm going to fucking sleep. I go in my room and I'm just laying on my side. I'm like sleeping on my side, not facing her. And she's just laying there like pouring her fucking, like doing that like sad. I'm just, you and I, but now we'll be together and you be my friend. Like this kind of shit. And I'm so mad. I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Leave. I don't care. Like I had like not a shred. I felt bad for her that she's like this. I didn't feel bad for her that I was doing it. I'm like, this is your... And I'm telling her straight up. I'm like, I don't fucking like you like that. Like, I know you think we're in a fucking relationship. And we're fucking not. And it's not going to happen. Better part of a decade gone. Not happening, motherfucker. And I was getting so fucking mad. I was just like emotionless. And all I heard this fucking Norma Jean song off the new album the other day. All I could think about was the lyrics of this fucking song. I swear to God, this was all I was fucking thinking. And she was like just laying there, like blubbering, like pouring her soul out. And then I had the fucking... hang on. This is what was going through my head the whole time. Just a couple of seconds. I feel bad that you're angry, but I'm sorry. I don't care for what it's worth. If it ever comes down to me or you, you're probably going to die. Then she got the best of me, because that fucking song, I couldn't sleep for shit, and that song was in my fucking head all night. And it's now Wednesday, and it has been in my head ever fucking since. But that's how aggravated I was. I was like, fuck. So she finally like stops her blubbering. What's he saying? There will be blood. Stop it. Stop your nonsense. Jamie, if I have a straw, and you have a straw, and my cock stretches across the room. Whatever. I need a drink, guys. Hang on. So she's like, finally stops. And she gets up and starts getting her stuff and like storming around. Grabs her purse. I'm like, fuck, finally. So she leaves. I'm like, thank God. I never said sorry. Nothing. I didn't say a fucking word. It's like, just go. I fall asleep. And then at like 9 o'clock in the morning, my fucking door opens. And she comes walking in my room. And she went and slept on the couch. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, what a fucking ass. Like, you are just an ass. She's like, I'm sorry, all right. I didn't mean to get it done last night. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, fine. It's fine. So that's where that was left. And now it's Sunday morning. Now I'm getting ready to go look for fucking cars now. I'm getting ready to go fucking buy possibly my dream car. And good old Scotty's going to come with me as my fucking consigliere because I'm a terrible car shopper. I've faced the fact that I am a bad car shopper and I need help, okay? The first step is admitting that you have a problem. I have a problem with car shopping. I get taken advantage of. I'm afraid of bothering the car dealers. I know it's irrational, silly. It's my just willingness to be accepted. I don't know. I don't like bothering people, and I feel like I'm bothering them when I'm not fucking coming to the terms of their fucking deal, even if the deal's ripped me off, Richard Lewis. So I'm getting ready to go. Suddenly, I get an email from Kevin Pollack. Yeah, the fucking Kevin Pollack. Wait a second. What the fuck? Shit. Hang on. I gotta cut again. Hang on. It's my goddamn boss. God damn it. Why do my text me? I hate when people call and spend 4 minutes just tripping over themselves, telling you something they could have straightened out with one text. Like, what the fuck? So, yeah, Kevin Pollack goes, hey, man, remember when last time we hung out and you said anytime we needed help on the podcast, he does Kevin Pollack's chat show free on iTunes. It's his fucking weekly interview thing he does. And he gets some pretty big name people on there and some of my favorite guys. In fact, just the week prior, he had Weird Al on. I listened to Weird Al. And he records it right there at West Side Comedy Theater, right where you catch your boy doing stand-up, usually twice a week on Tuesday and fucking Saturday. I do an open mic, right? That's where he records it. So, he goes, well, we need help. Our guy just dropped out and we can use an extra set of hands. Do you want to come help us out? And I was like, by golly, I just saw you last night. And I never got to say hi to you, you son of a gun. And I'd be honored to. He's like, great, can you come now? It's 10 in the morning. I'm like, oh, shit. So I fucking rush. I haul ass over there to Santa Monica to help him out. And the guests are Steven Root. You know, have you seen my day brother? Steve Root, who's been in every fucking thing. I love that dude. He's been in a bunch of Coen Brothers movies and shit. And Rob Riggle right after that. And I was excited to see Rob Riggle because the last time I saw him was in, I think I've told this story, but in 2005, I think, myself and Cleo, the one-eyed grizzled black man who I used to move furniture with, moved Rob from a little shitty apartment on Fountain in Hollywood all the way out across the city to Thousand Oaks where he got a nice new big house because he just got his Ricky Bobby check. It wasn't even out yet, but he got signed, you know, they had shot that Ricky Bobby movie, and boy, did he make a fucking chunk of change on that one. So he moved into a nice big old house, and he was a super nice guy, him and his, I think it was his daughter, he had a kid at the time, and we moved him way to, I mean, it was like a fucking hour drive. He wasn't in the truck with us, but we met him out there, and then he fucking, I think he gave us $100, fucking, chum of a guy, sweetheart of a guy, and I was like, dude, I fucking moved you, I wanted to tell him so bad, because it's a super small crew. It's me, it's Kevin, it's Sam Levine, who was also in Wiretap Scars, my sketch that we shot a while ago. Sam from, you know, Inglourious Basterds. And Kevin's chick is the other kind of co-host that chimes in a little bit. Her name is Jamie Foxx, honest to God. And then there's Jason Mack, who runs the TriCaster. There's the sound. And there's... what's the other guy's name? Rob? The guy that runs the cameras? That's it. Just like five of us, right? So I get there and I'm helping. They're mostly set up because he hit me up so late. I'm like, sorry, it took me 4 minutes. They're like, dude, it's all right. It's like easy. We do this, you know, there's not that all that much involved. Just need a little help running the wires and shit. So I help. What's up, black woman? Oh, what's up, girl? Oh, look at the fucking ass on her. God damn it. I'm right by the Beverly Center. Oh, this girl, just these coochie cutters just walk right through the fucking cars. God, I love black women. Okay. So Kevin comes walking in, sunglasses, his hat, big fucking thing of muffins and donuts and shit. And he just he puts his arms up. He goes, what the fuck? He's like, why wouldn't you say hi to me? He's like, what the fuck? He goes, I know you, right? He's like, why don't you come say hi? He's like, that's almost offensive. I was like, I know, man. I'm sorry. So I start telling him. He's like, I don't worry. He's like, how was the show? So he starts talking about it. And he's talking. And then as he's telling the story, I think Sam Levine comes walking in. He's telling me and Jason Mack, because Jason was there. You know, he was talking about the improv show the night before. And he's like, you know, he's like, I haven't done the improv. I haven't done stand-up in, he's like, a year. He's like, I was kind of nervous. I was like, I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, I'm like, I kind of tell. And then I pointed out I'm like, that was great when you fucking stumbled. He did something weird, and then he turned it into like a whole, it was really spontaneous, and he turned it into a whole fucking thing that was like really funny. And I was like, that was a fucking great recovery, man. He was like, wasn't it fucking great? So he starts talking about it. And he goes, yeah, it was good because I tried a bit that just fucking, that failed. He goes, I got nothing. He goes, remember when I was, and I started telling me, and I was like, He's like, what did you think? He's asking me. He's like, what did you think? And I start explaining to him, and I realize I'm so used to just talking to other comics about their shit now that I just start talking to him as like other guy that does stand up and didn't realize. I was just like, maybe a little too forthright with him. But I was like, yeah, man, I don't, hang on, sorry. I'm like, yeah, I wasn't even sure what you were going for, dude. I'm like, I don't know if I missed a setup or what, but like, I saw you with this long piece of paper, and like, with the stage light, I could see right through it. I could see that it was really long, and I was like, where the fuck's he going with this? It's like a Torah scroll, and I'm like, you just kept reading off it. No one really, and he's like kind of scratching his face as I'm telling him this, like, who the fuck are you to tell me about my bit? But I was like, and I realized that when I started explaining it to him, I was maybe being a little too honest, and I was like, yeah, I don't know, I just didn't really get it, man. I wasn't sure what you were going for, but the rest was great. He's like, yeah. He's like, I tried, it didn't work. I think I won't be doing that again or something. I was like, yeah, you know, you live and you learn. I was like, what the fuck do I think I am? This guy's been doing fucking stand-up for 40 years. I know, it's funny. But like, he was, you know, he was cool about it. He just, I think he probably liked the feedback that it was honest. So anyways, we get everything set up, and I go up in the little cuckoo's nest up there with J-Mac, where he runs the board. And, you know, I'll put some pictures of this on my Flickr page, FLICKR, Live from the 405 Podcast on Flickr. My favorite is, on the board that J-Mac runs, there's a fucking monitor that has, there's three camera setups. There's four, okay? There's a two-shot of Kevin and the guest. This is all on one big screen, like a grid. There's a two-shot of Kevin and the guest. There's a single on Kevin. There's a single on the guest. And there's one more single that is on Sam Levine and Jamie Foxx just sitting there as, like, the audience. They're sitting in audience seats, and they got their own little camera. And they're not really, like, total co-hosts. They just kind of chime in here and there. So looking at the show's going on, they just wait to chime in. So it's just this two-shot of Sam and Jamie Foxx just staring at the camera. And they're so, like, they just look so bored, and they're so funny looking, and like, they don't move or talk or say anything. It looks like a frame from like a comic strip or something. They look like a little comic character. I don't know. Every time I look at it, it fucking made me laugh. But hang on 1 second. Yeah. So Rob Riggle was really, Stephen Root was, you know, I'm sorry, I did an hour, and Rob Riggle was fucking hilarious. And I got this, old Kev gave me some money, and I went over to the coffee bean and got coffee for everybody. And so I really wanted to fucking talk to Riggle. And then, like, the same thing happened the night before. Like, he was in a hurry to get out of there. He was already, like, kind of grabbing his jacket and walking to the door with Kevin, like, after we wrapped, and they talked all the way to the door. And then Rob just kind of left. I couldn't really, like, and I'm helping break stuff down, and I'm wrapping cable and shit like this. So I didn't really have an opportunity. Like, if there was, like, you know, if he was standing over by himself on one side of the room, I would have went over and been like, hey, man, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I just didn't really, because, like, when I went to get the coffee and I came walking back in, they were already doing the show now. They were already, like, a couple minutes in. So I couldn't, like, I didn't have an opportunity to talk to him at all. But, yeah, he got away. I didn't get to tell him that I moved him. I was like, fuck, I really want to talk to him. But I'm always really, especially when you're like getting in with a new crew like that, you know, I don't want to break any kind of protocol. I'm probably just being paranoid, but I'd rather be paranoid, stay on the safe side, than like wedge my way into a conversation and be like, hey, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, like, I don't know. It's a little eggshelly when you're new. You don't want to fuck up. So I didn't find the opportunity, so I didn't get to talk to him. And then I was just busy, and I didn't really get to talk to Sam or Kevin about the wiretap skit. Now, it's like, to me, obviously, it's a big deal, because it's, you know, those are big gets, quote unquote, for a little fellow like me to get. But to them, it's just like, they did it fucking 9 to 8 months ago. They don't, you know, they're not thinking about it. They don't give a shit. So they probably forgot we even did it. So I wasn't expecting like I said, Sam wrote me back last week and was like, yeah, it looked really good. And I'm like, eh. But I don't know. I get a weird fucking vibe from Sam. I don't think that dude likes me, man. I don't know what it is. I might just be reading a little too much into it. I think he might be a little standoffish by nature, but I just get a vibe that he doesn't like me. It fucking bums me out. I'm just like, whatever. But he was telling a story about, So when Inglourious Basterds, this is during the podcast, when Inglourious Basterds premiered, Sam was in a ton of scenes, man. That Hirschberg character was in fucking like half the movie. They fly all the way to Cannes Film Festival for the premiere with Jamie Foxx and Pollock. And they get in and this is like an actor's worst nightmare. He's like virtually cut out of the movie. He got one fucking line. And they were talking about it to Rob. And Rob's like, no way. Really? He's like, yep. He goes, they cut most of your scenes? He goes, they cut all my scenes. He goes, I'm on camera twice in the whole movie. I'm like, that, dude, that's brutal. To fly to fucking France and bring your friend, a high profile fucking like friend, you know, he's a, you know, Pollock's a pretty well known fucking dude. And be like, check me out in this Tarantino movie. And you're watching, and the fucking movie's going by. And you're like, oh, my scene was supposed to be there, it's not there. Oh, my scene's supposed to be there, and it's not there. And to just sit there and see yourself cut out of such a fucking huge movie. God damn, that's got to be fucking heartbreaking. I felt so bad for him. I was like, Jesus Christ. That's what happened when everybody went to see, the most famous of that was when Thin Red Line premiere. I mean, some of those guys were cut out of there completely, but the most famous, allegedly Mickey Rourke, because that was like his favorite director was Terrence Malick. And, you know, Terrence Malick hadn't made a fucking movie in almost 20 years. And even Thin Red Line was like his first movie in fucking forever. And it was like Mickey Rourke's dream, and he had his whole thing in it, and they completely cut out. I mean, not a frame of Mickey Rourke made it into the movie. And I guess they at the premiere, he left the theater, and somebody saw him bawling his eyes out in a stall in the men's room. That's how fucking heartbroken he was, the poor bastard. But, yeah, that was interesting. So, at the end of the fucking show, when Mr. Pollock gives the shout-out to the crew, he's like, thanks to J-Mac and Jamie Foxx and blah, 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 and he fucking gives the kid a shout-out. The old Lukester got one. I got two, because he did two episodes back-to-back, and the first one at the end of the Stephen Root, he's like, and thanks to Luke, Ellie, he's like, how the fuck do you pronounce your last name? I'm just yelling from the Raptors up there. I'm like, Alan. He's like, Alan, that'll make it easier. I'm like, yep, that's why I changed my stage name. I wish he didn't know. Oh, that I and my last name fucks up everything. But then I got one on the second one with Rob Riggle, too, and he got it right. And that was fucking, dude, what a nice guy. Pollock is, I don't know, I've heard stories about him. He was all right when I did the thing with him. But, just fucking super nice. I mean, just fucking total sweetheart to everybody. He's helping us break the lights and shit down. He's a little guy. He's an older guy. I'm like, dude, we got this, man. And he's fucking helping move gear around and shit. I'm like, what a fucking cool dude. Thanked me profusely. He was like fucking really cool about it. So then J-Mac is like, well, you do audio and shit, right? Because they got to wear lavs, the exact same lavs, the one that I got that I always use for my boss. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, all right, well, he's like, I'm going to see if I can have you start coming around so that you can learn all this gear here. So in case this audio dude's not around, you could be like the fucking stand-in guy. And I'm like, holy fuck. All right, dude, I'm down. Let's do it. So this Sunday, he's got Christopher Guest, which I'm not a fan of that guy's movies, but Christopher Guest was the six-fingered man in The Princess Bride. And I have never met a Princess Bride cast member ever. And I would love to fucking just, like, see that dude once. I know he's, like, a comedy legend. He's a legend. I'm a legend. From all his, you know, Night at the Museum? What the fuck are all the movies he makes where they do all the improv, the Best in Show and all that shit? I don't know. I never got into that. I know they're really popular and stuff. And apparently, like, you know, comedy genius. I just like dick and fudge. I like a fucking fart right on a dick, right? That makes me laugh harder than that. You take your fucking prick. And you hear your buddy fart on it. I laugh so hard. My fucking bladder comes flying out of my fucking throat. No, but, yeah, I want to see him just for that. So, I'm going to see him. I can get back there again this Sunday. It was a lot of fun. It was really fucking cool. I couldn't believe I got to do it. And, it's just weird that dude, I'm such a fan of that guy for so long. And he just knows me. He just knows my fucking name. He's got my phone number and shit. And, that's kind of rad. You know me. I went nerd out over that shit. But, yeah, it was fun, man. Great bunch of fucking, people. And, it's a good time. Good fucking time. So then after that, we get done at like 2:30. Ponderous. This is fucking ponderous. I went looking for my white whale. If I was Moby Dick, but like Moby Cock, right? 2017 yellow fucking Mustang. Beautiful. I go in into test drive and I fucking tremble. It's such a fucking beautiful, fucking douchey car. Ooh! Oh, it's fucking, what a goddamn machine. Ooh, that engine. So Scotty comes with me, and I started over there by that Sunrise Ford by my house. That's the one I always fucking see, a six fucking cylinder. Fucking badass, right? And we test drive it, and we try to get into the finances, and I can't get near this motherfucker because I'm upside down on my piece of shit 2009 Toyota Corolla with 128,000 miles on it. I still owe $5,000. And the sticker price on a fucking, on most 2017 Mustangs is around $27,000, which is a little too much for the Lukester, if you know what I mean. What, my fucking made of money here? So, fucking swing and a miss on that one. So, Scotty's like, listen, man, let's go over to Galpin Ford in Reseda, because that place is fucking huge. They got, the guy takes us, so we pull up. There's like eight salesmen just, they're just waiting with their arms. It was like that fucking, when young Henry comes out of the fucking, out of the courthouse in Goodfellas, and they're like, oh, you broke your chair, and they're all standing on top of the stairs waiting to hug him. That's what it looked like when we fucking pulled in. There's like five dealers waiting. I don't know, it was Sunday night. I don't know if there wasn't that many people around. They were just waiting for some business. So we get this guy, and I hate fucking car salesmen. I hate car shopping. I hate being fucking preyed upon. And he was one of the most easy fucking going, maybe the most easygoing car guy I've ever dealt with ever. He was fucking awesome. This guy was like so not, he was older gentleman. He was probably, I don't know, 60 something. And super fucking accommodating. And he's like, okay, you want the yellow ones? Well, let's see what we got in the back. And he takes Scotty and I to the, and by the way, God bless the great Scott Murphy. I mean, just for being him anyways. But he comes out all fucking day. Dude, just spends like eight thankless hours car shop. I mean, who the fuck wants to go car shopping? But he was like legitimately excited. he was more excited than me. It was a help. He just like, he was there like every day. He's like, all right, man, this is what you got to know. This percentage of blah, blah. Because I'm math retarded. I really am. It's like not a joke. I'm like mathematically like dyslexic with numbers. I can't do simple fucking math. I'm really bad at it. And like, well, and then they start throwing around like acronyms mixed in with the numbers. It's like I'm doing fucking algebra again. I can't fucking carry the two. I don't fucking, on the MSRP, let X represent MSRP and let R parentheses represent your fucking interest. Like, what? So he knows how to do all this shit because he's like a fucking normal person with a fucking brain. So he was there and like, I don't know, he was there all day. I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, I can't believe you're doing this because I would be fucking, this would be like worse than asking me to help you like move. I'd rather help you move than shop for a car. But he was like all about it. Hello, ladies. God damn it, I'm on Laurel Canyon. So he takes us in the back, and there is a fucking field of dreams ocean of new Mustangs. I mean, rows and rows. There must have been 150. Every color, every option. I was like, put my arms on and spun like a fucking The Sound of Music. Like, I was out, I was like, oh my God, this is fucking Italian douchebag fucking heaven. Just fucking Mustangs everywhere. So we fucking test drove another. I'll tell you what, these are my two complaints. The back seat of that fucking car, the trunk is tiny. I can't fit shit in it, which does not help me with my job because I got to lug gear around now and again. The back seat is fucking, it's got nice cozy bucket seats, but the way the ceiling slopes, if you're fucking taller than Herbe Village, it's very uncomfortable. You got to crane your fucking neck. Like you're staring straight down at your fucking cock and balls when you sit back there. You got to fucking bend your head down like you're genuflecting the entire time. It's fucking brutal. Join us in prayer. And the steering wheel. Now, it comes. There is so much gadgetry and bullshit in the steering wheel. There's fucking volume controls and it just a fucking, it looks like a goddamn computer, fucking NASA rocket fucking keyboard. I'm like, I want the most basic thing I can get. I don't need any of this shit. I don't need all this fucking, I like a nice, clean, fucking, simple, empty steering wheel. I don't want buttons and a fucking goddamn Apple computer and the steering wheel. It fucking doesn't look cool. It's like it looks too techie. I don't need all this bullshit. I mean, like the fucking middle array where the radio is. It's like a fucking mission control center in Dallas. I'm like, what is all this shit? I don't need any of this stuff. I don't need a backup camera. Like, I could lose two fucking $2,500 in options right now and make this car cheaper. I wish they'd fucking made like a super base model. So I don't want any of this fucking crap. I hate it. I need an aux cord and a thing to plug my fucking phone in. I'm good to go, you know? But we test drove it, and now I'm thinking because they got a way bigger inventory, they're going to be able to work with me
a lot easier and have more wiggle room than Sunrise Ford. It has like five fucking Mustangs and only one yellow one. So we God damn it, we tried everything. We just can't get these fucking payments are astronomical. I'm just fucked with this stupid car that I got. So now I'm stuck without my fucking Mustang for the fucking foreseeable future. Luke, why don't you just pay your car off? You said you got $5,000 you owe on it. After this last car payment posted, you owe even less than $5,000. It's pretty doable. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to you, Voice of Reason guy. That's why I got you. That's why God gave you to me. That's what I'm going to do. I put $600. I had to fix a bunch of shit. As you notice in previous episodes, you could hear that wheel wobbling on my driver's side. It sounded like I had a fucking square tire on one side. Got a bunch of shit fixed. I put 600 fucking smackers into this car. So I gotta get another 30,000 or so miles out of it. Hoping I can pay it off by summer. Maybe get together another grand to put down on a fucking Mustang, and I will be driving around and then fucking pussy vortex. That's all I can think of. I'm like, I would get so much fucking pussy. This car's so fucking cool. Ooh! I need it! And then we went to Chili's after. I mean, what do you want from me? It's the car shop, you haggle, you get hungry. You're a man. You know, you got a stomach. You got to fill that fucking stomach. You got things to do, people to talk to, cars to buy, deals to make. You need to fucking eat. Right? So we went on eight after. And then, what, anything else happened? Well, I'm just trying to read your notes while going down Laurel Canyon, one of the windiest fucking streets in America, is not good. I could bitch about the fucking rude airport guys again, but do you really want to hear it? Hang on, bear with me here a second until I get around these fucking turns so I can look and see what else I can talk about. Hang on, uno momento. Yeah, so I did my first... I haven't done stand-up, but I don't know, because of work and other... Hang on a goddamn minute. Hang on a goddamn minute. Who the hell is this?
What's going on, Luke Allen? Are you on the 405?
Well, I'm off the 405 now. I'm in the valley, and I'm heading to the fucking gym so I can tear it up in the fucking pig iron pit.
Yeah, which gym do you go to?
I go. Why are you going?
I'm trying to think if you're going to a gay hotbed or
you're
not.
You're going to come. Well, all LA Fitnesses are sort of, to some degree or another. Well, the one I'm going to, I was talking about earlier, it smells like fucking balls in the entire place. I mean, not that I've ever smelled balls. A friend described them to me, and now I figured it out or something.
Would you be, like, distraught if somebody was attracted to you of the masculine kind? Would you be, like, if somebody's watching you work out and they were a dude, would you be upset about that, or would you be, like, flattered?
I mean, if they were licking their lips and staring at me, I guess it would be kind of weird, but I don't think I'd be, like, pissed off.
I don't mean, like, prison yard. Like, if they were just, like, looking at you for fuck's sake.
Oh, I don't know if that's ever happened. I don't think I'd give a shit. And, like, at least somebody fucking wants to fuck me, you know? It's kind of comforting.
That's the thing. Like, I remember, do you remember New York Sports Club?
No.
Did you ever live in the city?
In the city, Jesus.
Though, like they always had New York Sports Club in the city. And there, I remember, we were on the Upper West Side, dude, and it was just like a hotbed. There in Chelsea, obviously, it was like a hotbed for, like, guys just watch it lift, and then, like, in the shower, they'd just, like, there'd be guys, like, jerking off in front of each other there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of my blue heaven in a way.
She's a fag.
But anyways, man, how was your day? Do anything cool?
No, what did I do? No, I went and got my taxes done, and I just languished at work doing a lot of fucking boring bullshit, putting gear away.
Yeah, but you're in charge of, like, fucking serious gear, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, right now I am.
It's funny, because... Like, you were describing, like, a nightmare to me once, and you were like, I had this nightmare that I lost, like, a $1,000 piece of equipment, and I thought I had loaned it out, And then and you told me you couldn't differentiate between the dream and reality.
Yeah, I would wake up and be like, I couldn't tell if I was dreaming or not. Yeah, it's fucking, it would go on all fucking night. I've been sleeping like shit lately. Are you a good sleeper? How do you sleep?
When I lay down, I'm pretty fucking beat. Like, it's not hard for me to sleep.
Well, you gotta chase around old people all day and like make sure they don't run into traffic and shit, right?
I mean, it's not too much chasing around. Like at that point, they're usually there because you know they can't get anywhere far. I can't give you all the details of it.
Pussy.
In terms of chasing. I had to actually pick somebody up from Washington once. I've never actually talked about it. Like
the state?
Yes. Somebody fucking made it all the way to Washington, D.C., and I had to go pick them up.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy.
Did they
go to the hotel, and it was madness, dude. And then I was charged with the task of getting them back on a plane. And if I couldn't get them back on the plane, I had to stay in Washington, D.C. till we figured out how the fuck to get them back.
Jesus Christ.
And, yeah, dude, it was insane. Like, I've never, ever experienced anything like that before. It's almost like folklore right now in the company that I work for. Because it's just like, anytime, like, I train somebody, they're like, did you really go to Washington, D.C.? I'm like, yeah, I had to fucking pick somebody up. But yeah, dude, some people, like, they fucking make a break for it, and I don't know.
You know how I'd lure them back? I'd get in my car, and I would take a fucking box set of Golden Girls DVD, and I would just wave it out the window like a horse carrot, and I'd be like, come on, I'd be like, ah, and I'd be chasing it.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm sure you know, like, that show is like, it's like fucking catnip for them. They absolutely love that show, like, and they think that, like, that fucking old whore Blanche is, like, hilarious. They love her.
She is hilarious.
They don't mind that she's, like, an old slut.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, she's cute. I remember when I used to fucking show my twat to old men. Like,
looks like
I think because she's Southern, it makes it okay.
Yeah. Looks like an old dried-out apricot. It's like, we don't need that, ma'am. Stupid.
But yeah, they like her. They love like Betty White. You know what they don't like? Surprisingly, they fucking hate Murder, She Wrote.
Really?
Yeah, they hate it. They're like, she's so boring. No. They're like, we need Blanche.
No shit. Yeah, I guess they want to laugh. They don't want to think about like fucking murder or anything serious
they don't
in their
laugh,
life.
Dude. I think it's just that, like, I think Golden Girls gives them like false hopes of like. Yeah, we can still fuck if we want.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
good,
bang.
Good point. How the fuck is Betty White is...
They do a lot of that, too.
How is Betty White still, like, alive and, like, cognizant? She's, like, fucking 95 or some shit.
You know, I bet she's got, like, a lot of handlers, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
she's got,
like,
a lot of buffers, Senator.
Like, how celebrity animals have, like, handlers.
Yeah.
They're just solely in charge of taking care of them and feeding them.
Yeah.
I bet Betty White has, like, a bunch of those.
So you're telling me she hangs out with Chelsea Handler and that makes her young? Boo.
What was your Hinge fucking picture today? Like, so yeah, for anybody that missed it, fucking I look at Twitter and there's like this picture of just all these hinges. And I'm like, what? Like, and I'm wondering, like, oh, is there going to be like a solid joke about this? And what was your tweet? I want to give you full credit for this.
I don't remember. I mean, there's so many brilliant tweets I make a day. I can't remember.
Go ahead.
I think I just, I was like, you think your workplace is becoming unhinged? And it was just a pile of hinges. Stupid.
I fucking love it, dude, because you're the first one to shit. Like, you'll make a shitty joke, and then you'll just pee off on yourself. Like...
Well, did I tell you about the Bee documentary I started working on?
No, what's this?
Well, I can't tell you, but I'll tell you what. There's a lot of buzz about it. Boo! Fuck. Sorry. I'm a fucking piece of shit. I hate myself.
Imagine if you crashed and you died on that joke.
He died doing what he loved, pissing everyone off with his shitty jokes.
He died telling one of the fucking worst jokes ever. No, dude, it's funny. Like, my favorite one, though, is when we were outside Oak's Tavern. Where you kind of stand out there, and you're, like, deep in thought. And I'm kind of, like, looking at you, like, is everything all right, man? And, dude, with all sincerity, you just looked at me, and, like, you go, I don't know, man. You know, I've just been trying to come up with a bit that's going to win everybody over to start my set. And I got to tell you, Eric, I'm stumped. And then you put your leg down to reveal a gigantic tree stump.
Yeah, it held the door open.
Because it was the reveal. It was the slow reveal. Like, like, look at this stump right behind me.
And then it was even better that it was a bunch of comics I didn't know would come outside to fucking smoke cigarettes with us, and I'd be like, I'd keep using that joke on every new person, and it'd just be like, oh. It never got old. Oh, it did, but it was still great.
I was going to say, that's the reason everybody else thought it was old, but you fucking didn't stop, you did it. Doesn't stop Luke Gallum.
Yeah. Remember the one guy came out, and he was like, the one dude bombed, and he came out, and he was just like, ooh, he's like, I should have used the stump joke. I was so happy.
Well, you even told me, you're like, hey, you think we could get that stump in there?
Yeah.
for your set? And you're like, yeah. I'm going to do a stump set to open.
I was like, I was going to try and, like, sneakily get it onto the stage somehow without people noticing it too much, but I was like, I'll put a curtain over it.
Yeah, because you said, you go, do we have anything that would cover it?
Put it in a pillowcase.
Yeah, and then, like, it ended up being, like, a fat joke about how big my coat was. Like, I bet your coat could cover it.
Sorry.
No,
I mean, it wasn't that big of a stump. Anyone's coat would have covered it, you know. So if it makes you feel better.
I don't know, dude. That was a big stump.
Yeah, it was.
Like, fucking
I'm telling you, I bet that would have got a laugh. Anything would have been better than the set I dropped in there. It was terrible. Like, I bet the stump probably would have legitimately got a laugh.
Are you know what, though? Like, this is what I love. Is you are critical of all jokes.
Yeah.
But you're never harder on your own. Like, it's fucking, it's crazy, dude. Like, you'll critique yourself on stage. You'll tell a joke and you're like, yeah, that was shit. I don't know why. What the fuck's the matter with me? And then you'll insult yourself like three times.
Yeah.
And all of those insults will be really funny.
Yeah. Like, and sad.
Make a shit joke and then your insults, like, you're deprecating, and that's it, dude. It's fucking awesome.
No, oh, thanks, mister.
You did good last night, though.
Did I? I couldn't tell. I could only hear you and Joe laughing. I wasn't sure. I was like, uh-oh, I don't know, this is working.
Well, yeah, dude, but then, like, by the end of the night, too...
What?
How many comics did we have there?
I think I was like...
Everybody starts to clear out.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I was like number 12 or 13 or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe more.
It was good, dude. Like, fucking... dude, at least you write your shit and you, like, continue to work on it.
Yeah. Thanks. You're so nice. Like, all you do is shower me with compliments. It's so wonderful. You need to call me every day. Give me a 5-minute pep talk. So I don't kill myself.
No, we were talking about you. It was me and Rizzy Turbulence. We were talking about your, I don't want to talk shop here, but fucking Jackie Kennedy joke, dude.
Oh, thanks.
Fucking, to me, that's so classic. Like, you know, don't say it. Like, and people have to come see you to see it. Like, it's...
Fuck yeah, I like
that.
That
joke is one of my favorite fucking jokes, dude. I absolutely love that joke.
Thanks. It's true, I was really thinking that watching the movie. I'm like, who fucked her? Fuck. I heard Jimmy said the other day that she was, I don't know if she was cheating with him, but apparently at some point she was fucking William Holden for a while.
No shit.
Yeah, I don't know if it was while she was with fucking Kennedy or before and after, I don't know, but apparently allegedly he was tooling her. I never heard that before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, wow, dude, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I want to do some research in that. You know, one thing that we haven't had, like, we've had all these fucking memorials. I was thinking about this. How about William Hurt? I think that's who it was.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, nobody really gave that guy his due.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, he was always
that
just...
guy was like...
No, go ahead.
All these fucking musicians and all these other actors, and I was like, yeah, they're fucking good, dude, but come on, dude, fucking William Hurt. And all they kept showing was his Harry Potter shit.
Oh.
Which, he was only in the movie for, like, you know, a short amount of time, but it's just like, that fucking guy was crazy. Like, remember fucking Alien, just fucking,
Yeah. He was an alien? No.
Like,
just kidding.
Yeah, dude, he was the one that, like, that fucking, what is it?
Didn't he have, he had heartburn or something. Something happened to him. I think he threw up or something like that.
And then, dude, not only this, this is how cool he was. He did Alien, and then he fucking does Spaceballs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Himself.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Fucking, that Alien sings, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my...
Yeah. I remember that. Did you ever see The Proposition?
No.
It's an Australian Western with it's Guy Pearce and I love the other fucking guy. What the fuck is that family? Jack Houston. I fucking love him. And then John Hurt plays. Wow. It's like this Australian Western. It's so good. It's from like 2007. And then John Hurt plays this like old drunk bounty hunter. He's fucking awesome in that movie. Oh, he's so good.
God damn.
The ending of Proposition makes me fucking cry every goddamn time I watch it. I'm such a fucking pussy.
I'm going to say, dude, are you like a crier at movies?
Yes. Yeah, I am. I've gotten really bad over the years. I don't cry at my family's funeral, but I cry at the cheerleader part at the end of train wreck. I'm like, what the fuck? What a jerk.
Here's the weird thing. Like, I hate going to movies if I'm on a date. Like, I would much rather go to a movie by myself.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, I hate, I prefer going by myself.
My friends give me shit about it, too, because I'm like, I don't want to entertain anybody, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you like going to movies with people?
No, I love going by, because, like, you and me are dudes that are way into film, and, like, we go there to, like, concentrate on it and shit, and, like, it's a fucking exercise for us. Other people are just, like, going to fucking kill a couple hours, like, you know, to me, that's going to get me through the fucking week. I need to see it.
That's the thing of it, is I, like, and to just sit there and, like, to me, that's the ultimate relaxation, is not to have to entertain anybody, like,
yeah.
I just fucking, like, I can literally sprawl out and just be like, oh, fuck,
yeah.
Everybody else here. Like,
pull your dick out of your fly, you're like, fuck it, I'm comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I did that at E.T.
Me too.
What are you looking at, kid? Fucking mind your business.
As soon as I saw Gertie, the little girl, I fucking came everywhere. I mean, she was a little old for me, but I was like, you know, she'll do. the tip of my dick glowed like E.T.'s finger. It's like, oh.
Be good.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's fucking awesome. Fucking A, Luke, I'm glad that we set this up, man. I hope your drive is fruitful, short.
Thanks. I'm almost done.
I love that you do a podcast from your car.
Thanks.
So like, it's fun to be like, I wonder where the fuck he is now. So I'll be like, oh, fuck, was that Sepulveda? Yep, I fucked myself.
Yeah, I had
you're
a couple
like
of
fucking
those.
Mel Gibson, whenever he gets crazy and, like, I'll leave the weapon, you're like, I fucked him.
You fuck that, I rip
over,
my steering wheel off.
Knock your shoulder back in that socket.
Yeah, start screaming about Jews. Stupid.
Oh, shit.
All right. I'm at
Fourth Wall, dude. If you're not doing anything, stop by later.
All right, yeah, maybe I'll swing by. I'm going to, like, work out and do some shit. I was going to do a mic tonight, but I don't know. I'm probably going to do this, work out and edit this fucking thing, and I'm so behind, I gotta get my fucking shit together. I wrote another 4 minutes and I'm trying to get on book on it.
You actually have, like, real work.
Well, I mean, like, I use that term loosely, but
the way on my day, it's a good day, but you, like, actually have to produce product.
Yeah, I know, it sucks. I heard that's like when what's his name, Ramsey was like, yeah, I hit all these mics. I'm like, I wish I fucking got out at, like, four, because I can't make it to shit with my fucking stupid work.
That guy's a beast with mics, too. Like, he and, like, Rob Banks, those guys fucking kill me.
Yeah.
With how many mics they can do in a day. Like, Yeah. I don't know. Like, I guess that builds like a different stamina too than just hitting a lot of mics.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could fucking do that, man.
It's weird, dude. You would not believe how many fucking good-looking comics I see, though. It's killing me here.
Like, yeah. That's why you want me to come every night. Sorry.
I like my hipsters like a little scrawnier. Like, you're like too. Like, if I ever punched you in a relationship, you'd fucking come after me. I like my. If I ever hit somebody, like, they wouldn't come after me.
Oh, yeah, you want to be the dom, right?
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Well, don't we all kind of?
No, right? some people are in a fucking, you know, they want to be bossed around and shit.
Oh, God, dude. Someday you got to come with me to this bar. I'll show you some shit, dude. It's weird. There's like a dominating, like, I don't know, man. It's weird. Like, it's called Pup Night. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Like, I'm not into it, I swear. But,
that sounds convincing.
Yeah, what these guys do is... These guys fucking, they dress up like dogs, and they have, like, leashes and collars and shit.
What the
fuck? And they
fuck?
All have handlers. And, like, yeah, they just fucking, they have, like, a big playpen, and they all just fucking, like rub up against each other. It's pretty, yeah, it's fucking weird, dude. Like,
what the fuck, man?
I'm into some pretty kinky shit, but I'm always like, what, where the fuck, how do you get into this? Like,
yeah. That's fucked up.
I don't know, dude. I thought so. Is there, like... Is there kinky shit like that in the straight world?
Yeah, there's like...
Just, like, stepping on guys' balls and stuff like that, I know. But
yeah,
like,
there's some like, kind of famous-ish S&M club in Hollywood, and I remember my buddy and his wife, used to, they're into that shit a little bit, and they went, and they said they used to see fucking J.K. Simmons in there, and he'd be all, like, tied up and handcuffed, and they'd drip, like, hot fucking candle wax on him and shit like that. I'm like, that totally makes sense. I could fucking see him doing that. He seems like that kind of guy.
Fuck yeah, that was when he was preparing for Oz.
Yeah, fucking Schillinger. Oh, he was so good. I fucking love J.K. I've always loved that guy.
Did you see Whiplash?
Oh, stop it. Oh, yes!
Dude.
It's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
That's been my favorite movie since fucking No Country and There Will Be Blood came out.
Yeah, it's literally one of the best movies I've ever seen. It's fucking amazing.
It is, dude, that movie's...
Like, every fucking level from, like, every fucking facet of the production is, like, just fucking stellar beyond imagination.
And they made that movie for, like, fucking cheap compared to what everything else was made for that year. It was embarrassing, like...
Yeah.
I remember I was seeing it in the theater, and everybody, like, at the end, it was like everybody, like, was holding their breath.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
I couldn't get out of my seat. Shit. I was like, I can't believe how... I can't wait to watch this 800 more times. It's so fucking good, like, over my lifetime and shit.
Fuck. Goddamn. When he was doing a show, I had a buddy that wrote for, he was doing a show called Growing Up Fisher.
Yeah.
And,
sounds like my brother's
wife. I was supposed to do a reading. I was supposed to do a reading where I would get to read with J.K. Simmons. But, like everything else in my fucking life, it didn't pan out. That's my big claim to fame.
Oh, that fucking sucks, really?
Reading with him.
That sucks.
It was right after he won his Oscar, too. I was like, fuck.
Oh, Jesus, really? He used to come. Yeah. He used to come into the bowling alley sometimes. I talked to him a couple times because we had a fucking Spider-Man pinball game in there that had his face on it. It's J. Jonah Jameson, and he's like, "Yeah, my face is on a pinball machine." And I'm like, "That rules." I got a picture with him, but I look like a real turd. But yeah, I love
you're
that
like
guy.
The Jim Norton of the bowling alley.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I do. I got a fucking ton. I got a lot of good pictures in there. Yeah.
All right, dude, I'm going to see where I'm at on the list, buddy. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, cool, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, man, for sure. Take care, buddy. Bye.
All right, see you now. Bye. Well, that was Eric Rocha, the comedian. The whole last 5 minutes, these dumb cunts, these fucking asshole old rich people in this really nice car. I'm on Ventura in Studio City. I'm sitting in a parking fucking space where there's a meter. With my car running, talking, and they're pulled up next to me like three fucking times, and they pull up window to window, and the lady's like mouthing and pointing, like, "Are you parking? Are you gonna park?" For like 5 minutes, I'm like, "Hey, fuckhead, do you see me sitting here talking into a microphone and not responding to you? Fucking move along and find another parking space, Cruella De Vil, you fucking bitch, fuck." Anyway, Eric's one of my good stand-up buddies now, and he's a gay. And he doesn't come across as a gay. You would never, I always forget all the time, like some like dude will go walking by in jockey shorts and he'll be like, what's up, man? I'm just like, holy shit, I forgot he's gay. Yeah, he's, I don't know, I think maybe my first gay friend. But yeah, he's great. He's a funny motherfucker and he's like super nice and always gives me a nice, when he brings me up, always says all kinds of like lies to the audience and says I'm funny and shit. And, no, he's a sweetheart of a guy, gem of a guy. He's a good dude. He's funny. He's got that podcast, Behind the Cork, that I literally like, but he never puts up any fucking episodes. He's one of these guys that, like, he'll go to edit the episode and it takes him like 2 months because he's got to fucking just pour over every goddamn second. It's like, just put it up, motherfucker. Like, who's listening? The podcast police? But me, him, and that dude Rob Banks did one like a month ago. I'm still waiting for him to put it up. It was really fucking funny. It was basically what you just heard for like an hour and a half and all kinds of Goodfellas reference and shit. But yeah, it was fun. We talked about stand-up and shit, but he's a good dude. Anyways, well, well, that was good because I ran out of stuff to talk about, and he called up and kind of saved me. But I know phoners aren't always they're not super pleasant just because it's telephone voice. But whatever, it was fun. Good talk. So, anyways, yeah, I think that's it. I think I've wasted enough of your time and my time, guys. Hopefully, we laughed and learned and had a good time together. Yeah, have a good. Have a good weekend, man. Have a good, don't drink too much. Don't drink and drive. You can fuck without a condom, though. Do that, because it feels good. And you gotta have some kind of voice. And you gotta be dangerous on some level. So, yeah, fuck without a condom. This is your boy signing off, saying have unprotected sex with anybody you want. Anytime, anywhere.
And we're out. How did you think the show went? Oh, it went pretty good, man. I think we really fucking kicked butt. I think we should go in now and have ourselves a fucking good workout.
Some behind the scenes stuff. This is my other producer, Jim. You guys don't know. He hides in my back seat and hangs out.
Hey, man, that was a pretty good show. I thought we kicked butt. Covered a lot of fucking topics. I think people are really going to like this episode.
Yeah, I didn't know how to end it. Like, usually I never know how to fucking, like, I never know how to sign off. I just kind of like, I kind of trail on, and it's not very interesting or anything.
Yeah, man, we got to do something about that. You should be a little bit more decisive. You know, just fucking have a good solid out and cut it so people, they say always leave them laughing. That's what you should do.
I know, I'm trying. You know, maybe next week I'll try to think of like a cool sign off or something. We'll be right back.
I don't care.